to politics, and everything in between. And now your hosts, Troy Geary, Will Stein, and Dave Stevens.
Welcome, everybody. Hello, it's great to be here again in March as the madness continues. And I know the whole world has been talking about basketball, and that's okay because it's March and that means spring training. And we've got a great show for you tonight. And of course, I got to bring in my co-host all the way in Duluth, Minnesota, Troy Geary. And Troy, just getting back from California in the golf tournament with some stars. So, hey, brother, how are you doing and how was your trip?
It was good. We finished third place out of 50 teams, so that was fun.
Yeah, and getting ready for a little baseball season?
Oh, yeah, baseball right around the corner next week, actually.
Yeah, that's what we're hoping for. And tonight, we have an amazing guest, and I'm going to introduce him, but I'm going to throw it out to the field. I hear that our correspondent, Tony Kubek, is on the field. Tony, can you take it away, please?
Should the Oakland A's win the World Championship again in 1974, it could be because of the elbow you're looking at right now. It belongs to Tommy John, who at All-Star break was the winningest pitcher in the National League. And Tommy, you had a 13-3 record. You never picked up another victory after that.
Right, Tony. I tried to pitch. I think I waited about 8 or 9 weeks and rested some and tried to come back and throw. And it just got to the point to where all I could throw maybe three-quarter speed. But whenever I try to get the little extra pop on the ball that you need to get guys out like Jackson and Bando, et cetera, I just couldn't do it. And I couldn't throw a good curveball. We decided about the 1st of September to get my arm operated on. And the 25th, Dr. Frank Jobe went in and reconstructed my left elbow. You know, I just try to think of it. You know, Jackson 2 years ago was out for the series because of his pulled hamstring. And I like to think maybe this is going to happen to me where I can come back next year and play next year.
Tommy John, I hope you do come back as your important factor in the National League and for this ball club, the Dodgers.
I'm sure I will, Tony. Thank
Good
you.
Luck. Let's go back upstairs.
All right, Tony. Thanks. And that's just having a little fun. Bringing in our guest tonight, I can't believe it's been almost 60 years, but Tommy John, a baseball pitcher, not just a surgery. The man, the legend, 288 career wins. Tommy, thank you for joining us. When you look back at that footage and you see yourself in that cast, I mean, what kind of memories does that bring back?
How hard it was to get that cast signed by the Dodger team. I got all the guys signed it. Vin Scully signed it. In fact, the first guy on the cast to sign it was a guy named Danny Murtaugh, a manager of the Pittsburgh Pirates, and I had to have him okay me to be on the bench. And so he said, I'll do it if you let me sign your cast. And that's, it gave me the thing. Sign the cast. Yeah. So we got it signed. I wrapped it up into a black trash bag so the light wouldn't hit it and fade out the markers. And just this last year, we donated it to the Smithsonian Institute.
Wow.
And so it was September 25th, 1974. And we just donated it. So it's a piece of baseball history.
That's amazing. I mean, you should be in Cooperstown and that should be right in there along with you. That was.
Well, maybe, you know, I've got. How am I going to say this? There was one guy that was plugging against me in years gone by as to why I could not get in. Now I've got a guy that just got in the hall, and he told me, he said, TJ, I'm going to do everything I can to get you in here. And that guy's name is Jim Cott.
Kitty Cott, yeah.
Yeah.
That is tremendous. You need to get there. I mean, I don't understand how the baseball writers work and if they hold grudges or, I mean, your career speaks for itself. The numbers speak for itself. And that's kind of what the bottom line is, considering you didn't have off the field things. You didn't have anything of that. You didn't gamble. You didn't do other stuff that have kept people out. All you did was go out and pitch in 760 games.
Well, I won 288, and I had 188 no decisions. 188 no decisions. That's a lot. That's a lot. It's the most in baseball history. So, you know, whoever decides to put me in, I'll be thankful. And, you know, if I don't get in, I'll still be thankful because God's blessed me with a great wife and kids that love me, or at least I think they do. And once in a while, a grizzly old friend that comes over and we feed him and, you know, and then he can go out and sit on his chair and try to get coins into the hat.
Before I get ask you a question, Veterans Committee, I know you're listening. Get this guy in the Hall of Fame. yeah, when you had that surgery, I mean, revolutionary now, did you think that it would turn into what it has been over the years, this thing that would just continue? Or did you just thought it was kind of an experimental thing? And did you think that when it happened, your career might be in jeopardy?
Dr. Job told me, he said, we only have one chance, and that's like one chance in 100. I do this surgery on you that's never been done before. And so I said, okay, do you think you can do it? Have you done it? He said, well, I've done ligament replacement surgeries on polio patients, but I've never done it to a guy that makes his living throwing a baseball. And I said, Dr. Job, if you do your job, I will more than do mine. And we both said, let's do it.
And as we look at, you know, some amazing pictures of you and your youth and the teams and everything that you've been a part of, I mean, the longevity and the success of that, it transformed all sports, not just baseball. And I'm wondering, it's a good thing. You don't want to get Lou Gehrig, that's not something you want to get, and all these other things. Usually when something is named after somebody, it's because of a bad thing. And it's like, now you are forever, your legacy, even long gone, hopefully in 20, 30 years, you know, it's still going to be such an amazing thing. And is it humbling that you were impactful in something like that?
It is. And it, you know, if you sit back and you think about it, I was at the right place at the right time. I was with Dr. Job, the team surgeon for the LA Dodgers, and he did the surgery and was smart enough to know what to do and when to do it and all that. You know, so somebody was saying, let's take care of Tommy John. He's a pretty good dude. But I want to ask one question. What golf tournament did you play in?
It was a celebrity event for veterans. It was actually for veterans' causes down in California.
In what
Cota de Casa.
Cota de Casa.
Yeah. Yep. So okay. It's Orange County, Southern California.
You finished third, huh?
Yeah. Not bad.
You cheat?
No. It was our group. We were a foursome. It wasn't just me. No. It was best ball, so you know how that goes.
I was playing in a tournament up in New York, and it was at Trump National.
Ooh.
And our team was 20 under par on a scramble. And somebody said, 20 under won't win. I said, I've never been this low. 20 won't win. Trump will come in lower than that. Trump's team came in at 22 under.
Yeah, I was 11 under, and I thought that was good. The winning score was 18 under, so I don't know how they do it.
Was he cherry picking your old teammate Rick Roden out there? Is that, you know, because that guy is a ringer?
No, he was. I tell you who he had with him was a guy named Bill Clinton.
Not too bad.
And they had a couple other guys, and it's just Don had a good pencil. A very good pencil that made good scores come up.
Well, Tommy, when you do get that call to the Hall, and I know you will, have you thought of you know, are you a Dodger? Are you a Yankee? Are you a conglomerate? Like, where we've seen some recent, some kind of decisions that are kind of weird. Like, I mean, have you, I hate putting the heart, you know, cart before the horse, but you deserve to be there and we know you will be there. So what will we see on that wall?
I don't have a choice. We used to have back in the day, but Reggie Jackson and Dave Winfield sold their caps to George Steinbrenner and whoever owned San Diego. And the Hall of Fame says, whoa, we're not in it to do this. So they took that away from the ball player. They decide what cap you wear.
Well, you've worn so many wonderful caps and made so many amazing.
It's either going to be a Dodger or a Yankee, and most probably a Yankee because that was my last team.
As we're taking a look at some of those things, so we talk about baseball now, and I know you know I'm an old timer, and I've kind of lost touch with the game a little bit just because of all the changes, but. You know, back in your day, a pitcher was expected to go 7, 8, 9 innings. Now, if they can get 5 out of you, that's great. And there are 5 starters and all these kind of things. I mean, and now they're trying to shorten the game and put in bases that are bigger and things like that. I mean, your games were 2 hours, 20 minutes, 220, you know, 230. Like, what has changed so much that they've got to now start changing the game for the first time in hundreds of years?
The thing that's... the people that run the sport, the Rob Manfreds and all that, they don't have a clue as to how the game's played. Get the ball as a pitcher, throw it for a strike. You keep throwing strikes, the guys keep hitting them. Maybe they're base hits, maybe they're ground ball, maybe they're fly balls, maybe they're home runs. But you got to, but you can't go ball 3, ball 4, ball 2, ball 3, ball 4. You can't do that. And you can't start the inning out with runner on second base. That is what they've done to baseball, really, in my opinion, is disgraceful. And I don't even watch baseball anymore because of that.
That's got to be tough because the love of the game has been a big part of your life for almost, you know, 65, 70 years, you know, of your life. And we watch it with the bat flips and things like that. I mean, you know, Troy, what are your thoughts on some of these? I like that they've taken the shift out because I really think, you know, that changed a lot, you know, with all these analytics and everything like that. It's like, play your position, and if a guy is going to hit, he's going to hit, you know. Troy, what are your thoughts on the new ones?
Yeah, they're just trying to make it more offensive and less pitcher-friendly, which – if I was a pitcher, I'd be very upset about that. You know, you can't rush a guy in the mound. I'm sure Tommy knows, you know, you have a rhythm and you want to keep going. Especially, right. And you, I'm sure you like hitting when you're in the National League, and now they've taken that away. So did you like hitting when you were playing in the National League?
Well, that was part of the game. I had to come to bat. I had to be able to bunt, and I had to be able to put the bat on the ball. And that was the ball game. That's what we've done ever since I started playing the game at 8 years of age, back in Terre Haute, Indiana. And you know, they want to take all this stuff away, and I just find it hard to take.
And Tommy had 141 career hits, 5 career home runs. Do you remember those home runs? Do you flashback to any of those?
You better believe it, baby.
All right. Tommy John joining us. Just a great show to talk about tonight. And speaking about great things, do you like the shirt I'm wearing? Do you wish you knew where you could get more? Well, go to freshcleanthreads.com and you can get the shirts. And that's why I'm dancing and I'm so happy and I look good in these clothes. If you go to freshcleanthreads.com, type in the code GSSSHOW. You get 20% off of the Henleys, the long sleeves, all the great things. They've got bomber jackets, so many great products. Go to freshcleanthreads.com, type in that show code, save money, look good, feel good, and of course, help out the Geary Stein and Steven show. And I really enjoy wearing their clothes because they're lightweight. I can jump in the shower. I don't need to iron them. And, you know, despite not having legs, everybody looks at my upper body and they feel tremendous about how I look. So, And we're back with Tommy. And Tommy, you touched on your young starting career in Terre Haute. You were quite a basketball player. And I think, in fact, for a while, you were thinking you were going to go to college and play a little more. And in those days, I was wondering, because there were a lot in the 50s and 60s of the guys that played in the NBA and still pitched, that, you know, there were pitchers that played MLB and kind of did a little moonlighting because you needed second jobs in those days. So, you know, tell us a little bit about that basketball career and how you ended up playing baseball.
Well, when you live in Indiana, basketball is a religion, and you play the game. And I was at a high school that had a very good basketball teams, and I had right at 50 scholarship offers to play college basketball. I had one to play baseball. And had I stayed in Terre Haute and gone to college, I would have taken the baseball scholarship offer from the University of Illinois, and I would have gone there. And they told me when we were talking, they said, oh, we've got a kid coming in from down around St. Louis. His name is Holtzman, a left-handed pitcher. And I said, oh, okay. I'd never heard of the guy, but he turned out to be pretty daggone good. And I just think that, you know, would I have been a good basketball player? 6'3" white guys don't play a lot of good basketball, unless you're Larry Bird, but he's 6'10".
I was going to ask you, speaking of longevity, excuse me, 1988, you became the oldest baseball player career-wise after Phil Niro retired. How much did that mean to you, knowing everything that you went through to get to that point?
You know, it was good, but it's not something that I lived my life for. I worked hard. I stayed in good shape. But, you know, baseball is baseball, and you play it as long as I could. And I was hoping that George Steinbrenner would like me enough to give me a couple more years at the end there. But he saw fit to tell me to go home and be a good father.
And I remember, you know, when my time, I had 9 years in Minnesota and you were a broadcaster. It was weird that you were with the Twins and not, you know, another big organization. But, you know, I enjoyed listening to your style, you know, and what did you have differently when you stepped away from the game to become a broadcaster? Because I know you weren't harsh on anybody, but you still told the story and explained what was going on.
Well, I was always taught, or at least told, you tell the truth. You explain the game. You don't trash ball players. You don't do these things. And that's what I lived my life behind the microphone. With the Twins, my broadcast partner was Dick Bramer. And one time we're going, and it was like three innings. And I had not commented on one play because Bremer told the play, described it, did this, and they sent a note down, and he pulled me aside and he said, I apologize that I've been taking all your time on it. I said, don't worry about it. You know,
that's such an organization that has had some really great broadcasters. And of course, you know, of course, we remember the, you know, the PA announcer, you know,
Bob Casey.
Bob Casey, no smoking anywhere in the Hubert H. Humphrey Metrodome. But speaking of fans, Troy.
Yeah, we got a fan question. Each week we ask our fans to submit a question. And we have one from Jason Limita from Superior, Wisconsin. He wants to know, who was the one fearsome slugger in the 70s to 80s that you did not want to see at the plate with the game on the line? And how would you pitch him?
Well, the guy that hit me the best was a guy named, what the heck was he? Ned Yost. And Ned Yost wasn't a feared slugger. I could not get him out. But I would hate to face a hitter that could hit the ball good and hit it with some authority. Maybe Don Baylor, Carew, George Brett, although I got Brett out. My whole thing was, I'm going to throw strikes. And I'm not going to throw strikes down the heart of the plate. They're going to be low and away, up and in, something a little off, something a little on, a curveball. You know, that's the way I pitched. And I just felt that if I threw strikes and I threw often and I threw rapidly, not hard, but I threw quickly, get the ball a throw. You'll swing at the ball before you're ready. And that's what I wanted to do. Now you're in my game now. You're doing my stuff.
It seems like we've gotten away from the game of you've got eight guys out there with gloves, and if you can get them to utilize that and you can throw the ball where they're going to hit it, it seems like the game has changed. As I said earlier, you pitched so many innings, and it was like the bullpen, you didn't want to go to the bullpen because you had that strength in your arm.
I wanted to be out there and either win it or lose it myself. My wife just yelled in, Mark McGuire. Mark's father was my dentist, and I've known Mark since he was in high school. And I faced him in Yankee Stadium. We were going to play on a Sunday afternoon, play in Oakland. And we go out, my family and I go out to have dinner Saturday night. And I had disciplined my daughter, and she was right at that age of, 13, 14, that little sassy age. So anyway, the next day I'm going to ballpark, to Yankee Stadium. And as I'm leaving, she comes out of her bedroom and she yells down, "Daddy, I hope Mark McGuire hits home runs off you." And I said, So I go to the park. Mark comes up, first time up. I throw him a sinker away. He goes right field, a big old slice home run. Okay. Next time up, sinker away, slice home run. And I went, "Oh, the little shit's jinxed me." And so the third time up, I the count goes 2-0, 2-1, and I throw a fastball away, the same one that he hit out of the park. And instead of trying to go to right field again, he tried to pull it, and he hit a ground ball, 6-4-3, double play. And as he came across the mound, I outdumbed you. And went on, and I think we ended up winning the game like 6-2, 7-2, something like those were the only two runs Oakland's got were his home runs. So as I'm going to my car, he gets off the Oakland team bus and he said, "What'd you say to me?" And I said, "I outdumbed you. You thought because you hit two home runs off of me that I'm going to change?" I said, "Mark, that's the way I pitch. I won't change. I won't change." "Oh, okay." So about 10 days later, we're out in Oakland and he comes up first time. I go sinker away, ball one, sinker away, ball two. Oh man, it's a good hitting count. And I run a fastball inside and it jams him and he pops it up. And as he comes back across the mound, I walk with him a bit and I said, "Not every time am I going to throw you low and away."
Now, do you look back and you talk about McGuire and, here you are, this old man just trying to get through life. You're in your 40s, you're pitching, and then you find out afterwards that, people are doing things that many people were doing. But there are a lot of you that weren't, that were just trying to do the right thing. I mean, do you look back and think, you know, why my numbers might be a little different? You might have gotten 300, you know, those kind of things that it stole away a part of the realism of the game?
Well, what they did back when I played, we had one thing. We had a thing called greenies. And greenies were amphetamines. And one team had them in a big jar. They looked like a candy jar. And the guys would come in and grab a couple and throw them down and go. And does that mean a hitter can take all that he wants? He still has to put the bat on the ball. Those pills aren't going to make him do that. They're going to make him stronger. But he's still got to hit it, and he's still got to hit it where there are no guys that can catch it. And I, my whole thing was, take all you want. I will still get you out, because you're going to make more outs than you will get base hits.
That's great. That's so good to hear. And like I said, you know, Troy alluded to it earlier. We, you know, if we got to start a campaign now, I don't know what we got to do, but I want to throw a couple of rapid things out. Just as we wrap this up, just throw a couple of the people that you've crossed paths with in your life. We're going to start out with, of course, that cantankerous guy that you spent a lot of years with in the Dodgers organization, Tommy Lasorda. If you got a story or a memory of something of Tommy, especially since, you know, he didn't have a lot of patience there.
He and his wife had two or three cars. They never drove. He always had somebody picking him up and all that. And the ball players would come by his house, pick him up. So one day, it's a Sunday, and he calls and said, I'm going to come by and pick you guys up. What? I'm going to come by and pick you guys up. Okay. So he comes by. Oh, where's Tammy? I said, she's here. Tammy, your Uncle Tommy. And they're hugging and playing and all this. And Billy Russell, Bert Hooten, Tom Pishorek, Joe Ferguson, we all lived in a little Orange County. And they said, Lasorda, let's go. We're going to be late. Let's go. That's okay. I'm driving. And so we get to the ballpark, and we're like 45 minutes late. Batting practice is almost over. So we're in getting dressed so that we can go out and run some laps on the field. And he comes out of his office and he said, you guys that are late have $100 on my desk by tomorrow night's game. And we said, well, sort of, you drove. He says, I don't care who drives. You're responsible for being here on time. That was Lasorda.
Well, the next guy I want to ask you about is Billy Martin. Got a story about him?
Billy, we're playing the Angels, and I leave the bench. I'm going up to the clubhouse to get some bubble gum. And as I pass the manager's office, I hear this stuff crashing and a woman's voice going, oh, oh, oh. And I go up and I listen like this, you know, what's going on? Billy's having sex. So go back and I said, now here's a guy, major league manager, leaves his team, goes upstairs, have sex. But I'll say to his credit, he married the lady. Down the line, he married the lady, and she was a good girl, but, you know, come on, you know, you're better than that.
All right. I got one more for you before we let you go. And my son and I are going to watch it tonight. The documentary's out. He was the reason I wore 44, despite, you know, what you thought of him away. I always knew when I didn't have legs, people were staring at me. And when I played, and you know, Reggie, he could come through under the clutch, and say what you want about him, but you know, and he just turned 75. So I wonder if you got a quick Reggie story for us.
Reggie was a good guy, and all I know is I treated him with respect, and he treated me with respect. And in 1981, my son Travis fell out of a third story window and hit his head on a car, and he was in the hospital for 30 days, 16 days he was in ICU. So they asked me to throw out, they asked Travis to throw out the first pitch in the 1981 playoff game at Yankee Stadium. And I'm pitching, so I can't walk Travis and his mother out to the mound. So I get a hold of Reggie, and I said, Reggie, and I explained what was going, would you walk Travis out to the mound? He said, TJ, I would love it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And that was Reggie Jackson to Tommy John.
I love hearing that. That is such a great thing. Tommy, and I'm not putting the cart before the horse, but what do you want your tombstone to say? How do you want to be known for who you are, what you're leaving behind?
Tommy John played hard, worked hard, enjoyed baseball, and wanted his fans to enjoy it also.
That is tremendous. Well, thank you guys so much for being a part of our show tonight, Tommy. So many fans out there. They're very excited. And I hope our paths cross someday when we are, can be around each other and shake hands and talk a little baseball and hear some other stories that we couldn't say on the show today. again, thanks for being a part of our little thing. It means so much. You are such an icon in this game, and I'm hoping MLB The Show puts you in soon so we can see in the video game, so the kids of the future can see what that did. You proved that you didn't have to throw 100 miles an hour to get people out, and I think that just shows a lot nowadays that we've lost touch with that kind of baseball.
That's right. And the other thing that the analytics have taken over, and come on, baseball's baseball. 27 outs, 9 innings, let's go. And maybe they'll get back to it somewhere down the line.
All right. Well, I appreciate your time, Tommy. Troy, not a bad show.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. I know you've been pretty busy down in Florida, and we appreciate the time to take out of your day to do this.
And here's the other thing. I want to give you a tip. Practice your putting, and you'll win more tournaments.
I need practice.
There you go.
Or play with Donald Trump.
Well, we know. Yeah. All right. On that note. All right.
Okay.
For Tommy, for everybody, I'm Dave Stevens. Have a great night. Thank you for watching the Gary Stein and Stevens Show. And continue to follow us on all social media platforms. We're out there. We're on your home TV and everything else. So for Troy, for Tommy, and myself, I'm Dave Stevens. Have a great night. We'll be right back.